to my beloved Gaius. Gaius, the name means joyful and rejoice, right? So this brother, Gaius, is a very special brother. He's a brother loved by Elder John very much. So this letter is to write to him, to encourage him, to keep on doing what is right. And also, give him some instruction about how to deal with the situation in the church. So the theme of the book, not much specific theme, but we can say, is an instruction of love. It's an instruction of love by John to Gaius. John called him brother, called him friend, called him a child. So it is very important. So let's see what kind of encouragement that John gave to Gaius. Verse 2. Let's read verse 2.
Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, as your soul prospers.
So John wished Gaius to be prosperous in all things. Just like your soul prospered, your health should be prosperous too. So we can see in a human being, there are two parts, right? In ourselves, we have two parts. First is our body. And secondly is our soul. Sometimes our body needs to be taken care of. For Gaius, he's spiritually very, very abundant, very healthy. But maybe his health is not that good. Maybe he worked too hard or didn't take care of himself. So that's why John told him that, I wish physically you are as prosperous as spiritually. So with this really tells us that we have to take care of our body as much as we can do. And of course, health is given by God, right? But we have to take well care of it. Just like yesterday we mentioned about young person, sleep early. Sleep early, okay? After YTTC, you must change your sleeping habit. Sleep early. Eat healthy. That sounds like your mom, right? And exercise. Three things to keep your health. You know, there was a brother I know. When he was young, he came to Canada to study. He was like 15, 16 years old. He came by himself. He lived in someone's house. He's not a church member. Because the parent is not with him, so he has freedom. I know you love freedom, right? You're thinking, like, wow. If I one day I can be away from my home, my mom cannot nag me. I can sleep whenever I want to sleep. I can eat whenever I want to eat. So nice, right? So that brother, immediately, he comes to Canada, he has freedom. But what did he do with his freedom? He stay up late, playing video game, sleep maybe 2 or 3 o'clock every morning. And then what he eat? Because he want to save money, he eat instant noodle. Almost. He eat very simple. He didn't cook himself. He didn't want to learn how to cook. Just eat instant noodle or skip milk. And didn't exercise. After less than 2 years, he came to Canada. He has liver cancer. So sad. His father and mother sent him to study, but he didn't take care of his health. He have liver cancer. He was 16 years old. And within half a year, he died. Very sad. Went back to Taiwan, even received surgery, but cannot help anymore. Right. His parents didn't have liver cancer. His grandparents didn't have liver cancer. His sister didn't have liver cancer. But why he had liver cancer? Well, of course, we can say it's God's will. But at the same time, you have to ask, why the way, what the lifestyle that you live? What's the lifestyle that you live? If you eat, if you sleep late, actually, I should say you sleep very early, right? 2 o'clock in the morning, really early. If you sleep too early, he said, preacher, I'm not sleeping late, I sleep early, 2 o'clock in the morning. I can say that. You sleep too early, no good, okay. If you eat instant noodle all the time, you eat junk food. How many of you like junk food? Junk food, McDonald's, KFC? American junk food. Sorry, American bring all the junk food to UK, right? But the UK food also not so good, right? Fish and chips. How many of you like fish and chips? Oh. Once a month, okay. Once a month, okay, but not every day. Not every week, right? If you like junk food, if you don't exercise, you know, how can your health be good? You know, there was a senior preacher when I was with him together at SSC or theological seminar. Every night after the prayer, he'll go to the parking lot in US, right? There's a big parking lot. The parking lot is so huge. So every night, while other people are enjoying the xiu ye, the snack after before sleep, never eat xiu ye, okay, I tell you. Never eat something before you sleep. Unless you really didn't have a full dinner, right? If you eat xiu ye, you try to kill yourself. If you have a habit of eating before you sleep, don't try to have snack before you sleep. It's very unhealthy. So while other people are having snack before they sleep, that preacher put on a sweatshirt and then he just jogging around the parking lot for like half an hour, 1 hour. I ask him, preacher, he's almost 60 years old, I ask him, why you do that, preacher? You're healthy enough. He said, no. We have to keep exercising. If we keep exercising, we have a good body, we can have a few more years to work for God. If I don't exercise, if I don't eat healthy, well, God can take, we have a few less years to work. So I was inspired by him. That's why you see me go outside to walk every night, right? Go outside to exercise. You have to sweat, you have to exercise. Yeah. So Gaius, John wish him that I hope your spirit or your body as prosperous as your spirit. So I hope that in the future I see you're still so healthy, okay? Even 50 years from now, I can be still so healthy. If God allows, you can live longer and work for God longer. So this is very important. Okay, so what else are the teachings? The book of Gaius. What is the good point of Gaius? Verse 5.
You have borne witness of your love for the same church. If you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you will do it.
So Gaius was very famous for his hospitality. Hospitality. Hospitality means providing help, assistance, accommodation, food for the brethren in Christ. Especially when they go out to work to preach the gospel, you have to take care of them. In the early church, there was no organization that much. So all the hospitality were provided by individual members. And Gaius was famous because he has so much love. Anyone come in the name of Jesus, he'll receive. He'll help. He'll give them food. Let them live in the house for a long time so that they can work for God without any regrets or any worries. So today we should do the same thing. And of course nowadays we have the church organization. When the preachers or deacons or worker come from afar, usually the church take care of them. Right? But you as a youth, you can also do something. You can also ask preacher, hey, do you need to go anywhere to visit? Do you need me to get help me to drive you there? Or preacher, is anyone cooking you lunch? Can I bring you? Can I bring you lunch? Can I bring you for outside? And I was in Calgary. Every time I visit in Calgary, there was two brothers. I was so impressed. They always ask me, hey preacher, do you have time on Tuesday off? Tuesday I have off. They want to go to dim sum together. I said, oh sure, you want to bring dim sum for me? I was thinking that maybe I have to pay myself, right? And they are students. And one is working part time. So after eating together, I want to pay. So the little brother, the young brother, say, no, preacher, you don't pay. We pay for you. We're working part time. We have money. We can treat you this time. I say, hallelujah. Thank God. May God bless you. Okay. It's not that we want to eat the food, right? We can also eat. We can also pay the bill. But they love to show hospitality. It's very important. And I know all of your parents are very hospitable, especially in UK. How many of you seen your parents receive some brother and sister in their house, or receive workers, or cooking for someone? Yeah, you're all seen it, right? So just copy the example of your parent. In the future, you do the same. And God bless you. Just like God bless your parent. UK churches are very famous for hospitality. Last year, the church bring about 60 International Youth Fellowship member from all over the world to come to visit UK churches. Yeah, some of you were here in Newcastle, right? And we visit even Edinburgh and London. All the other members, some from UK, some from US, some from Canada, some from around the world, Taiwan, Indonesia, they were so impressed about the love of UKs. Because the hospitality you provided here couldn't find elsewhere. Not only the food, of course the food is super, right? Yeah, the barbecue pork. Oh, I'm hungry now. I shouldn't be talking about this, okay? Everything. Yeah. So, but of course the love, everywhere we go, that they sing hymn for us, they share testimony, it's just so amazing. And I remember Taiwan, they also, Taiwan, the mountain area. You know Taiwan, the mountain area, the indigenous people, they call the native Taiwan people, they're very hospitable. I remember many years ago, I visited Taiwan the first time, and then one of the preachers bring us to visit the mountain area. It's good to go to Taiwan Theo too if you have the chance, right? If you have the chance. Before the Theo, the preacher bring us to show us around the mountain area. I remember we went to the mountain area. They are not as affluent as the city people, but they have so much love. So I went to a small village, and immediately they have cooked for us a big lunch. Wow, we eat so well. And then we stay in the afternoon, and they started to cook dinner. And then the preacher's wife tell us, "Do you like chicken?" I said, "Sure, I love chicken." And then the preacher's wife go to the back of his garden and catch a huge chicken, huge hen. And then, "Okay, tonight, this is tonight's dinner." Wow, I said, "Okay, good. And then bring it to the back, and he the... silence. And after 2 hours, wow, big meal. And then not that finished, right? The next day we stay there. They go hunting in the forest. Wow, they hunted a wild pig. Wild pig. Wow. They're shooting arrow, they're hunting. Barbecue. The whole wild pig. Crispy. So nice. Wow. I miss mountain area in Taiwan. Yeah, and then another time I went there, they make all sorts of very, very exotic desserts with sticky rice and meat and everything. So beautiful. Oh, I really love going there again. And next time I want to stay 1 month there, if I have a chance. So they are so hospitable. They have so much love. So brother and sister, one of the characteristics of TJC, not only in Taiwan, UK, I'm sure everywhere the same, we receive visitors. So if you hear there's a visitor, even a youth, not elder or preacher, right? Even a youth come from outside to visit your church, just show him around or her. Do you need companion? We can show you the city around. Let's have some fun together and have fellowship together. The same, I'm sure, if you go to US, Kelly will show you around, right? Kelly, huh? And now you know some Californian. Brother and sister from California. If you go there, sleep in the house for 1 month. No, just kidding, right? If you go for tourists, don't be there too long, bothering people, right? So I'm sure some kind of hospitality we are expected to provide to the brother and sister when they need us, right? But of course, don't take advantage of brother and sister. This is another point. Nowadays, some sister from brothers from other country, when they go to other places, they take advantage of people. That's no good. They say, "Oh, I'm going to live in the house for 1 month for free." That's no good, right? People receive us, but we don't take advantage. You don't stay too long, okay? You don't just eat and drink and then pay nothing, okay? Even people receive us, we have to be grateful and helping out. And even if you are for tourists, you better make your own arrangement. Well, of course, people can help you a little bit. Yeah, but don't take advantage of people. Okay. Now let's turn to verse 9, 10.
they can receive it. Therefore, we might have a report in our ministry to the
Okay, so here tell us, there's another worker in the church causing trouble. This worker, his name is called Eutyphras. He is not a good worker. In the church, you find good worker and bad workers. Don't be so naive that everyone in church are good. Of course, most people in church are good. Most workers in church are good. But sometimes you may encounter bad workers, or bad preachers, bad deacons, bad elders, bad church board. But they are minority. Maybe in the end time, you'll see more. 2,000 years ago, there were bad workers. And their workers is the local leaders, local workers. His name is Eutyphras. What is the characteristic of bad workers? First, he is pride. He is proud. He wants to be the number one in church. He wants to be leaders. Leadership was not earned in the church and was not fought for. Leadership is given by God through the choosing. If the Lord chooses you to be workers, to be leading the church during that period of time, you lead. If not, you be humble and let other people lead. But this Eutyphras, he wants to be leader, but he is not a real leader. But he wants people to respect him as leaders. So that's very bad. He is the proud in the heart. He is the pride in the heart. Secondly, what is this bad leaders? The characteristic. He doesn't have much love. He doesn't want to receive workers. He just talk, but they do little. Right? Someone in the church, if they do a lot, they are good workers. They have love, they are good workers. But they talk a lot, they do little. They are bad workers. Right? They can talk, wow. Talk a lot of things, but they don't even lift a finger. That is no good. Thirdly, bad workers will use very harsh and very sharp words to slander, to wrongly accuse the church workers, the other church workers. Verse 10 tells us, he used very evil words or very sharp words to wrongly accuse us. Us means the apostle. Us means the leadership in the church. If some worker come to you, even though he was your good friend, he was a very influential figure to you, and he come to tell you, hey, brother, I tell you what, you know, the church leaders are very corrupt. GA is very corrupt. IA is very corrupt. Nobody is good. What does it imply? Except, this man imply, I am very good. Because they are no good. If a worker come to you and say this, you are pretty sure that he is no more a good worker. Because he wrongly accused, sharply accused the church workers. Right? Affect the people's faith. So before that happened, you already should know this. This will come in the end time. Right? When people break away from the church, or they cause trouble, or they are deceived, they will try to get supporters. The way they get supporters is they want to accuse the leadership. So this will happen. So we have to be very careful. And of course, he tells us that he chased away some brethren. He tried to alienate church members. He tried to cause division. He chased away some members who are in church, according to verse 10. So all of these are the characteristic of a bad workers. So everyone have to face God, whether even the workers have to face God themselves. But for Gaius, John told him, you have to bear testimony. Let's read verse 12. Next. Another worker in church is called Demetrius. He was a good worker. How do we know he is a good worker? He has three kinds of testimony. Three different kinds of testimony to show he is a good worker. First, the church testified that he was good. Everyone in the church talk about him, say, he's a good worker. If one person say he is good, he may not be good. But if the whole church said he is good, then you're pretty sure he's quite good. Secondly, who testified for Demetrius? The truth testified for him. What does it mean the truth testified for him? Whatever he does is in line with the truth. Does it mean the truth testified for him? He practiced the word of God. He's not doing his own will, but doing the will of the truth, the Father. Thirdly, the disciples, the apostles testify for him. If the worker said he is good, most likely he is quite good. Right? For example, if in the future, right, you were introduced to some brothers, to a particular brother or a particular sister, you don't know what to do, right? You don't quite feel comfortable. Should you really be talking to this brother and matchmaking? What should you do? You should ask Preacher Michael, right? Or Preacher Johnny. Or any preacher you trust. Hey, preacher, do you know so-and-so? Because somebody introduced us. Or he's talking, he tried to send email to me, you know. And I'm sure after IDTC, you know, Facebook, you try to add each other's friend or keep in touch, contact, right? That's normal, right? Or in the future, when you're about to enter the serious relationship, you should ask preacher, hey, do you know about that brother? Or do you know about that sister? What do you think? Right. If the preacher tell you, oh, that brother, I remember, he's always 4 asleep in my class. Or if the preacher said, well, he's very good every time he bring me the lemon tea. Just kidding, right? But your preacher said, well, yeah, I saw him grow up. He's a very faithful brother. Even though he's not that handsome, but I know he has good character. If the preacher said this to you, you should have assurance. Oh, preacher said he's good. He's probably quite good. Right? So, talk to someone you trust, the worker. If the worker, if the apostle testified, oh, he is quite good, then mostly, with large confidence, likely that he's quite good. Of course, sometimes you have to ask the local preacher, a local minister to find out. We don't know everybody, of course. So, he hoped to write more, but he wanted to spare the information or the content to when he see Caius in person. So, we can see John, he really loved brother and sister. Through these three epistles, if we affirm the doctrine, he give practical guidance and encourage members. Any question about the first three books of the first and second and third John? If no question, we go to the second last book in the New Testament. It's called the Book of Jude. Who was he? He was the maternal brother of Lord Jesus Christ. The book was written about 65 to 80. Yes?
I'm sorry, I didn't get the theme verse.
The theme verse is the instruction of love. There's no particular verse, right? It's just quite general, this letter. Just personal letter. Or you can make it walk in the truth, right? If you really want a theme verse, I think it's verse 3. Yeah, verse 3. You see, in your heart, there's truth. You walk in the truth. Verse 4 talks about walk in the truth. So let's make it walking in the truth then. It's just helping you to memorize. You can have slightly different theme verse, right? Doesn't really matter. There's no strict. But since it emphasizes walking in the truth, or the truth 3 times, 4 times, so you can say walking in the truth, or the love, instruction of love. But Jude, the book of Jude has a more clear, have a clearer theme. Also has one chapter, but the chapter, the theme is to contend for the faith. Contend for the faith, which is in verse 3. Next. Contend once for all for the faith. Contend for the faith. So this is a theme verse. Verse 3. And the theme is contend for the faith. Remember, the first half of Acts of Apostles is preaching the gospel. But the second half, approaching the end, were Paul preaching the gospel a lot powerfully? He was even house arrest, right? He was forced to defend about the gospel. What is the term called defending? I think I talked about that, right? Apology. Apology means defending the truth. So once again, the more we approach the end time, defending the truth become more important. Defending. Even as important or even more important than preaching. Because at the end time, the situation will become very difficult. You will find less and less chance to preach and evangelize. People won't even listen. You may be put into house arrest or put into jail. Or people will isolate you, just like what we see the early Christians were feeding, where they were fed to the lions. Someday this may happen, so we may contend or defend the truth. This means able to stand firm. Usually we don't want to debate with people. But if people challenge us, or wrong teaching come to challenge you, you must be able to stand up and tell them why they are wrong. Or within the church, someone preach wrong teachings, you must stand up and tell them what you're saying is wrong by the truth. So this issue is becoming more and more important. Verse 3 tells us the nature of the truth. The nature of the truth is given once for all. Verse 3, underline. The truth was given once for all. What does it mean, once for all? The truth was given complete. First, the Bible. The Bible was given once for all. Old Testament, New Testament, they were formed, they were confirmed, they were canonized around 397 AD something. So this means the Bible was confirmed. There's no more new book can be added to the Bible. You cannot say, oh, I received revelation. I want to add one more book. No. The faith has been given. Even before that day, right, in the times of Jude, they already know the faith, the content of Christian faith. Even by oral passing, even the book were not formally written, but they know what they believe is there already. No addition needed. No addition is needed. The faith, when Jude wrote it in AD 65 to 80, already there. So you don't need to add anything. If you try to add anything, it's not from the Bible. It's not from God. So no need to add another doctrine or books. In the end time TJC, we are the same faith. So we receive the teachings from the very beginning, the five doctrines, 10 basic beliefs is there, even though they didn't call it five doctrines, but everything that there. So nobody can add anything. If somebody says, I receive revelation from God, I want to add something more. Sorry, it's not from the truth. It's given once for all by revelation. So nobody can claim that I have a new discovery. Right? If somebody comes to you and says, hey, I pray and fast for 3 weeks and I receive revelation from God, besides Sabbath, there's another day that we have to really keep. What should you tell him? You know, brother, you think too much, right? Maybe you're too proud. You really need to repent, right? How can you say that you receive revelation more than what we received already? So very important. This is, we must contend for the faith. Why we must contend for the faith? First, because there are many false teachers will come out. Verse 4. Next, verse 4. The main reason why we contend the faith is because a lot of false teachers are coming out. He said not one or two. He said some or even become more. They don't know the one true God. They don't accept Him as a only Savior. So in the end time, people will do the same thing, but in another form. From verse 5, to the end of the chapter, from verse 5 to verse 16, just tell you a lot of example about those who fall from grace. Those who fall from grace. What does it mean fall from grace? They were workers, they were angels, they were messengers used by God, but because of their pride, the pride in their heart, they have fallen from grace to become going against God's will and also become false teacher. The first example is the fallen angel. Verse 6. Okay, so first bad example is the fallen angels. They were given some position, they were given some boundary, but they are not happy with what they were given. They want more. That's why God cast them down from grace, from a spiritual realm, bound them up, waiting for the judgment. So this is the first example of person falling from grace. And of course, it mentioned about Sodom and Gomorrah. They didn't believe in God, but rather they commit a lot of sexual immorality. And then let's jump to verse 11. Cain killed his brother because of pride too. Balaam, he preached false prophecy because he loved money. Korah, the team rebelled against Moses because they want power. So from this few failure example, we know that what is the characteristic of the fallen workers or angels. The primary reason is pride. Pride is the first original sin. Pride is the root of all sin. If not because of pride, Eve would not have ate the forbidden fruit, right? How did the snake sell the food to Eve? How did How does she do marketing to the Eve? If you ate it, what happened? You'll be as God. You know. Your eyes are open. You know good and evil. So, devil, he himself, has pride in his heart. He wants to cheat Eve. If you do this, you'll be as God. So, pride, what does it mean, pride? Pride is you want to be same as God. Why did the angel fallen? He didn't like his own position. Right? Do you know angel? Spiritually speaking, his position is only under what? Under who? Only under God. And he is actually more powerful spiritually than human being. He's the servant, right? He's the servant of God. But he is not happy with his position. Of course, he wants to one step higher. It's God. But God cast him down. So here tell us, if anyone has pride, he isn't happy with his own position, he has pride and he'll fall. After he fall, what will happen? First, he will preach wrong teaching. Devil will deceive the person to preach the wrong thing if you have pride in your heart. If you're very humble, devil can have no way to influence your thinking. But because you think you are smarter, you think you are more educated, you think you are better, you know more than others, you think I should preach something more different, then devil love you. Devil say, yes, I can use this person. So don't try to discover new things. Don't try to be different, right? When we study the Bible, humility is the only attitude. Don't try to prove yourself. Don't try to show others that you know more. Secondly, if you're influenced, you have sexual immorality. You'll be sick. If you're influenced, you become a false teacher, gradually you'll become sexually immoral. Like verse 8 tells us. Therefore will deceive us, become sexually immoral. Verse 8. Okay, let's read verse 8. Yes. Okay. So, usually the foreign workers, not only they preach wrong teaching, sometimes they will become sexually immoral. And also rebellion. False worker, rebellion, have the characteristic of being rebel. Verse 11 we have just read tell us Korah, they rebel against Moses. They don't like Moses to become the leader. So all this characteristic of a false prophet, we have to really pay attention. And the result of the false prophet or false teacher is judgment. Let's read verse 15. Okay, false teacher will face judgment. God will deal with them, but not now, but in the right time. So what should we do? So from verse 17 to the end of the chapter, telling us, what can we do in this kind of world where false teacher will be there? Of course, we should contend for the truth, but we must keep ourselves in God's grace. Keep ourselves in God's grace. Verse 20, very important verse, verse 20. Next. Underline this first. This is the three precious things that we must do in this dangerous world. Apply to us daily life. First, we must build up ourselves in the most holy faith. Build up means edify. Just like coming to YTTC, read Bible daily, listen to sermons, video, audio all the time, read spiritual articles. This will help to build up your faith. The more you receive God's word, the more you build up. The stronger you build up, the less chance that somebody can move you. If you don't build up, you'll easily be influenced by others. Secondly, pray in the Spirit. You always pray by the guidance of the Holy Spirit. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, the devil is not easy to deceive you. Thirdly, keep yourself in God's love. God's love means His church, His house. If you decided, I'm not going to church anymore, who will suffer? You yourself will suffer. The devil will not suffer. Other people will not suffer. If you decide, oh, something happened at church, I'm not going anymore. The moment you decide you are not going to church anymore, you are leaving God's love. And you are the one. Just like you say, oh, mom and dad, I'm not getting along with my brother, so I leave the house. You leave the house, nobody feed you, nobody provide you care and protection. You are the one suffer. So never leave the true church. Write it down. Very important. Never leave the true church. No matter what happened, no matter who tell you, never leave the true church. Never stop coming to church. Even for 1 month, 2 months. Sometimes you think, oh, things happen, I want to take a break. Never even take a break coming to church. Because you'll get used to not coming to church, and eventually you'll leave God's love. So this is how we can keep ourselves. And then if we keep ourselves, God will keep us. Lastly, let's read verse 24. Next. Yes. You try the very best to keep yourself, but you cannot do 100%, right? But don't forget, if you try your best, the rest of the things that God will take care for you. God will keep you from falling. But if you don't do your part, then God cannot keep you. You do your part, you're not perfect, but God can keep us. Not because we are smart, or not because we pray a lot by ourselves, but because God has kept us. So this is a very wonderful teaching. Let's pray together. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah.
Good afternoon, guys.